14-1421, In Re Munns. Mr. Berquist.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, without waiving any of the briefed issues, I'd like to focus today, if I could, on three issues. The first issue is the claim combination lacks the bottom opening required by the claims. The second issue is that the references that were used teach the use of insert or insert cartridges, and the claims require that the mixed container be fixedly secured or integrally formed with the outer bottle. In the primary reference, that is the Brenner patent, specifically teaches away from using rupturable membranes, which is relied upon in the rejection. The USPTO treats a surface and an opening interchangeably. They are not. The claims require an opening in the bottom of the mixed storage container through which the mixed contents can go into the bottle for mixing in the container. The claim bottom opening is not found in the prior art at all. Your Honor, the first reference, which is the Brenner reference that I'm referring to, appendix page 48, it's very clear that the insert cartridge, which is denoted here as 18, is a one-piece integral unit where there's no separation of an opening. The second reference that's applied is the Weinberg reference.
Counsel,
which is, yes.
I understand why you're making this argument, because the red brief seems to suggest that Brenner describes an opening. So I understand why you're making the argument, but what I don't know why they made that argument, because the examiner and the board both said, and I'm going to quote from the examiner's opinion, it would have been obvious to one of ordinary skill in the art at the time of the invention to have made the top and bottom surfaces of the cartridge in Brenner of thin film membranes in order to provide surfaces that can be easily pierced by a tube. So I guess the point is, I didn't read the examiner or the board as finding as a factual matter that Brenner, whatever you want to say it is, discloses an opening, but rather it discloses a surface that would have been obvious to replace that surface with a film membrane.
I agree.
You don't have to waste your time, I don't think, on the argument about whether Brenner does or doesn't disclose an opening, because I don't think it does, and I don't think anybody found that it does. So I'm not sure why, if the red brief addresses that, why they do. But so why don't you focus on, though, why it wouldn't have been obvious to replace the surface in Brenner with a film that would be easily punctured.
I agree. In fact, I labored during the process to try to understand. I may have misapprehended what it was that the examiner and then the board was saying, but I agree that, and that was my opening point, is that they appear to treat surface and opening interchangeably, and we don't think that they are. Your Honor, to specifically address the question of why I don't think it would be obvious, is because if you look at the Brenner reference itself, and that's my third point that I alluded to earlier. If you look at the Brenner reference, column 1, lines 19 through 22, here's what it says. By the way, the Brenner reference teaches this cartridge, 18, that is made of a hard shell plastic or rubberized material that can be punctured and then sort of reseal itself. So here's what they say about foil membranes. Other arrangements include rupturable separating walls.
What are you reading from now, Brenner?
Yes, this is the Brenner patent, Your Honor.
What column and
it's
line?
Column 1,
yes.
And it's lines 19 through 22. And here's what they say. Other arrangements include rupturable separating walls or membranes and are prone to premature rupturing, leakage chambers, and incomplete mixing within the container prior to delivery. That, in my view, is a plain teaching that you would never use a film membrane to construct an entire surface. The board reasoned that Brenner did not teach away from that, and here's the reason. It's on page A6 of the appendix. They say Brenner does not identify any specific causal relationship between these shortcomings, referring to the premature rupturing, in rupturable membranes, the structures themselves. Well, that's exactly what the Brina patent actually says. It says those things, those rupturable membranes, don't use them because they're prone to premature rupture and the leakage.
Well, so, I assume you're focusing on that membrane language, right? Because walls are the vertical parts, not the bottom or the top. They're differently defined. In Brina, right, when it says walls, it means the up and down side things. It doesn't mean the bottom or top. It actually expressly calls out the bottom surface as something distinct from the walls, right?
Well, in Brina, it's all the same material. So that's been part of my confusion also, is because how they delineate, that is, in applying
this
reference.
Wait a minute here. It says, though, in Brina, column 3, for example, around line 45, it says, pushing downward to penetrate the lower surface of the cartridge of the lower portion 48 of wall 46. So they distinguish at least a portion of the unitary structure as being a lower portion. They target that lower portion as the portion that you're going to rupture, right?
They do. And in fact, if you look at figure 2 of that patent, of the Brina patent, that it sort of shows what it's talking about. That
it's the slanted part.
The slanted part, that's going to be, as we see down in figure 6, that's the target part where the cutter assembly is to punch through. Mm-hmm. So that's why they separately discuss that. But the construction here is disclosed in Brina, is it's a one-piece, sort of like a baby formula, the plastic goes into a baby formula. Although I think it's either rigid or rubberized material, they're saying don't use membranes. But and of course with baby formula, you don't want to puncture it so it drains off the bottom. But that is why they segregate. That's why they separately identify those portions. But that led to my part of my confusion in understanding what it was the patent office has been doing. Because if you do take that unibody construction, even identifying the bottom portions and surface portions, how do you integrally form that with the outer body? How are they actually constructing that device? And that's one.
That's a different question. And if you want to morph into that, that's fine. But that's a different question from whether or not it's obvious to have a bottom surface with a membrane, right? Your next point, I think you're moving on to.
I think it does teach a bottom surface, but how it teaches a composite one-piece unit, not constructing that cartridge 18 out of different materials at different places. So that's a wholesale change. And I think it does feed into, if you're going to make a wholesale change to the construction, how is it then you take that newly constructed device, whatever its actual contours might be, and securely attach it to the sidewall of the outer body, or integrally form it with that sidewall.
Is it so? Do I have to agree with you that Brina teaches away from using rupturable membranes or thinner membranes in order to find for you on this point? Because simply noting some of the flaws in a particular device doesn't usually satisfy teaching away as a concept under our case law.
In this, I think that there are other reasons that I should prevail, but that is my first point, that there is no separate bottom opening, and I don't believe it's appropriate to substitute the required opening, the claimed opening, and say a surface can be that opening if you puncture it, because that would vitiate the claim element itself, because any surface is capable of being cut, punctured, or if necessary, blown open. If you're going to create an opening through some sort of violence, I don't know what
the words mean. You're creating an opening through violence in the patented invention too, in identically the way.
The opening
is
claimed.
A little less violent, right? A little less force.
In this case, the opening is claimed as being a defined opening, and it is subsequently enclosed with a fill membrane. So there is an opening that you're not having to punch through that rigid, integrally formed or fixably mounted storage container. And if you look at the way it's described, it's physically the same kind of a plastic material as is used to make the outer container. So in that internal storage container, there is a defined opening that's claimed, and it is enclosed with a membrane. And that is one of the issues that we've raised, that There is no defined opening, even in their combination. They have to create it in use. One of the other main points, as I alluded to earlier, that I'd like to address...
What does your application say about the benefits of the membrane?
The benefits of the membrane is that it's easily ruptured.
Where is that?
In the abstract, it says it refers.
What page?
I'm sorry, it's A18. The abstract refers to the seal between the two containers is being pierced. This is a question I had not anticipated. I apologize, but in at page A13 in paragraph 11, it refers to a light plastic film is used to cover the top opening 21 to facilitate passage of the mixed stirrer there through.
An area of weakness can be formed. I assume the area of weakness is the area where the film is. That's what you're talking
That's
about.
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, thank you. You want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Your Honor, if I might, I'd like to just address one quick issue, and that is, from an obviousness standpoint, the combination. To me, frankly, it doesn't make any sense to take one reference here that teaches an insertable cartridge that gets inserted into it and the top screwed on so as to lock it in place. And the other reference that's applied has a wall that's formed. But the central aspect of this invention, that is the Weinberg 372 patent, is that these foil packages get inserted. Those foil packages are replaceable. That's the whole point of Weinberg, that as this cleaning chemical or compound gets used up, you can open up the top and put in a replacement package. To me, I don't understand how you take that replaceable cartridge and this insertable cartridge and conclude that it's obvious to securely mount them so that they cannot be removed, fixedly securing that cartridge inside the other bottle. They're antithesis of each other. Something that can be inserted and removed versus something that's permanently secured. I don't believe that there's a suggestion that there should be an obviousness there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hunt, is it pronounced?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, just as an initial matter, I would just like to note we had no notice of the demonstrative. I don't know that we would have objected to it under this Court's
name rule. The figures in the brief.
Yes, Your Honor. But pulling back, this case, I think, is fundamentally an easy one. Munce's claimed mixing bottle is merely a predictable use of prior art elements performing their established functions. It's precisely the type of claim that this Court and the Court in KSR has held should be found obvious. As the Board found, and as Munce did not contest before the Board, the Brenner reference disclosed all the claim limitations of the invention except two, the film membranes sealing the top and the bottom, and the
film membranes sealing the top and the bottom opening. At all times, they were clear to include the language bottom opening as well, right? I mean, didn't leave that out.
The Board?
Them when they argued.
They didn't leave it out, but and I want to address Your Honor's point about the bottom opening and the discussion about the bottom opening. There wasn't a ton of discussion about the bottom opening in the Board opinion and with the examiner because it wasn't much of an issue that was made by the appellant. There was never this big argument, oh, there's no bottom opening in Brenna. It was the Board assumed that it was met either by Brenna or by the analysis that you discussed, Your Honor, in the combination of Brenna and Laser Gram.
Because the whole focus, the big focus of the issues before the board was there motivation to combine with Weinberg and was there motivation to combine with Liederbrand? And the board did address motivation to combine with Liederbrand. So there's this cartridge, and right now you have a cartridge that is in Brinna where the top and bottom are made of this rigid surface that is pierced by the mixer when the mixer gets inserted. It says, look at Liederbrand, and that's the my only quibble with the demonstrative, because Liederbrand is a reference that appellant seeks to ignore. So, for example, looking at figure 9 of Liederbrand on page A72, Liederbrand has an internal container. This is a mixing bottle for drink. Has an internal container with a top membrane and a bottom membrane, sealing the openings of the container. So the whole focus before the board was there motivation to combine the top and bottom membranes from Liederbrand with the cartridge of Brinna, so that instead of having the rigid, pierceable top and bottom, you would have these film membranes. It's implicit and covered by that analysis that you need to have openings. I mean, in both the application and here, the openings are closed. In Muntz's application, if you look at the figure, for example, on A12 and A13, when in the specification, the application states the light plastic or foil is attached to the shot glass. So those are the membranes, the light plastic or foil, and the shot glass is the internal storage container. So just like the claimed invention here, there is no, what's claimed does not have an ultimate opening. It's sealed by something. In Brinna, it was sealed by the same material.
What about their argument that Brinna teaches away? In I guess it's based on column 1, line 19.
Mm-hmm. Well,
is that referring, and I guess I'd like to know a little bit about what the exemplars are there, Moraine and Lanfranconi. Is that referring to walls made out of membranes or tops and bottoms made out of membranes?
Well, Your Honor, there are several things going on there. First, just as a preliminary matter, this argument was not made in the opening brief to this court, so we didn't have a chance to respond to it. But it was made to the board. And going to where the board addressed it, the board looked at this argument on page A6 and A7 of its opinion, starting about in the middle of page A6 and then ending the first paragraph on A7. And so the board found a couple of things about this teaching away argument. And the first one is that the portion of Brinna that was cited by the applicant, which is where you were looking, Your Honor, which is an A49 column 1, the discussion starts about line 15, that in some devices a frangible wall separates the two fluid-filled chambers, and there's no control of the amount of one component to be mixed into the other. So this says, then other arrangements include rupturable separating walls or membranes and are prone to premature rupturing, leakage chambers, and incomplete mixing within the container prior to delivery. So the board first found that this statement within Brinna is not necessarily a clear teaching away, because it is not clear what is causing these problems of premature rupturing, leakage chambers, and incomplete mixing. This is just a criticism of the broad prior art.
What's the answer to my question? Exemplary of the recent devices having a frangible wall, are those talking in Moraine and Lanfranconi? Do you know what those are?
You know, I should have looked back at those references.
I have them right here on my computer. So, interestingly, Moraine is a reference which has a film on the top and bottom that is perforated of weaker material in order to be able to facilitate piercing. So, while it seems quite frankly like Moraine might have been something you would have been better off citing here than Brinna against him, but nonetheless, it does seem that disclosure in Moraine
is what he's clearly saying you shouldn't have, and that's kind of what he does. And Brina, I'm saying what Brina says you shouldn't have.
Well, Your Honor, so it says exemplary of these recent devices are the frangible wall taut moraine, and they have coaxial cables with chokers fitting telescopically within the smaller chambers. So to the extent that this is a criticism, and the board noted to the extent that there's an issue, Liserbrand does teach foil membranes, and Liserbrand favors the use of foil membranes. So the board said, look, when we're comparing Brina's disclosure, which is unclear as to exactly what the criticism is, whether the criticism is directed toward the foil membranes or the walls, because we have this teaching from Liserbrand that favors the use of foil membranes, we need to balance those disclosures and see if there's a clear teaching away. And the board found that there was, that in light of the fact that Liserbrand was, the preferred embodiment of Liserbrand was foil membranes, that it couldn't use, that Brina did not distinctly teach away here. And
I guess I'm not understanding that argument. You're saying I'm supposed to say Brina doesn't teach away because some other reference discloses it and doesn't discourage you from using it. That doesn't make sense.
But on balance, would one of ordinary skill in the art be led away from using foil membranes in light of the disclosure of Brina and Liserbrand? So weighing the both of those together, looking at Liserbrand and Brina, would one...
So you're saying even if I accept as completely factually given that Brina in fact teaches away, you're saying based on the other state of the prior art, one of skill in the art would ignore that particular teaching in Brina and nonetheless use Brina and its structure anyway.
Well, yes, Your Honor. I don't know about completely ignore it, but in otherwise, yes. That the board did find that even if it, that looking at this, the disclosure of Brina, even if it's some criticism, and I did note that there was some criticism, but some potentially causally unclear criticism, that still one of ordinary skill in the art would not have been led away given the state of the art.
Well, isn't perhaps the answer here that while Brina may say don't use membranes because they're too easily ruptured, the patentee here was looking to membranes because they were easily ruptured. And that part of the specification that he cited to us, that seemed to be an advantage that they were looking for here.
I think that's a very good way to look at it, Your Honor. And that is an advantage that they did seek in their specification, including having a portion within that membrane that was particularly weak. On the other issues, are there any more questions on bottom opening? On the other issues,
you do realize that in page 16 of your brief, you went much further than the board or the examiner. The PTO, in its brief, claims that in Brina, the top and bottom openings of the storage container are closed with a rigid material. There are no top and bottom openings in Brina, are there?
Well, Your Honor,
closed,
I believe...
Suggesting something is closed with a rigid material suggests that it's an opening that has been covered by something as opposed to a unitary structure. Don't you... I don't even understand why you made the argument, because you didn't have to, but you did, and you. I feel like it's a misrepresentation of what Brina not only teaches, but maybe sloppiness. I don't know what it was, but I'd like an explanation.
Well, Your Honor, I think it's a fair argument. You don't, clearly, but there was so little in the board opinion directly on this issue because it wasn't brief. But it does say, both the examiner and the board did say that Brina disclosed all the limitations except for the top and bottom surfaces being filmed openings and the container being attached to the side of the wall. Since they did say that Brina discloses all the limitations, and since it wasn't, and they state it was not disputed before the board, looking at Brina, to me, it's a fair construction of openings to say that openings exist when there is something that can be pierced.
I'm reading from the board's decision. Brina, as to appellant's argument that Brina fails to disclose either a mixed container mounted to the inner sidewall or a mixed storage container having predefined top and bottom openings, both of which are sealed by a thin rupturable membrane, the examiner never alleges that Brina discloses those elements. I don't understand how you could stand here and represent to me that there's any confusion in the board opinion that would have justified the approach you took in the brief.
Well, I apologize, Your Honor. I focused on page A4 and the first line of A4 that examiner found an appellant does not dispute that Brina discloses the claim container except for the top and bottom surfaces of the cartridge being film membranes and the mixed storage container being fixedly secured to the inner side wall. And I did very much see that portion that you cited, but there's a lot of things going on in that sentence because what was argued before in the brief and what this paragraph responds to is, look, here's what the claim says, and then the prior art doesn't disclose this combination of references. So this paragraph in the board's opinion says, look, appellant said that there was a combination and that the prior art doesn't disclose the combination. And to me, it was dealing with the argument that there was no combination there. And the focus here, as I think the focus was before the board, which is why the board didn't deal with this top and bottom opening issue expressly, as well as it maybe could have, is that there's no fixing to the inner side wall and there's no membrane. But I understand, Your Honor, I apologize if you feel that reading is improper.
Well, where is Brina's bottom opening, or is, I don't know, what is it you think in Brina is the bottom surface that could be replaced by a rupturable membrane?
Your Honor, looking at Brina,
is it number 18 or 48 on figure 2? Is that, that's the surface that's meant to be punctured in Brina quite clearly, so is that the surface where that's the portion of the unitary structure that could be replaced by a rupturable material?
The bottom surface would be 50 and 48. Those are both the lower ends that are the...
No, 50 actually is...
Or not 40, sorry, Your Honor.
Nobody ever referred to that as structure.
Yes, Your Honor, 48, and I'm just looking at my... Where's the other... I'm looking at figure 2, so there's figure 2 is 48. I'm just looking for the figure that has the bottom... That describes the bottom... Oh, 54. But, Your Honor, the bottom surface is the 48, and then the right there, and then the bottom that's next to it.
Thank you. The bottom is next to it. It isn't part of the bottom, right? What 50, which we both agree is not labeling of actually the bottom, really is where the bottom is in Brina.
Your Honor, I understand this argument, but it's not one that appellant ever made, that's not the bottom. He's making an argument there's no opening. He's not making an argument that's no bottom. That might have been a good argument to have made.
Well, actually, he made the argument there is no bottom opening or
right.
Top opening, right? And so you're now saying that Brina could have an opening and acknowledging that if you were to put one on there, it wouldn't be on the bottom.
Your Honor, they're both the bottom in my view. There's the full, and if you look at the specification that talks
I'm
about...
saying your legs or your feet. Doesn't make any sense.
If you look at the specification, there's the lower portion of there's the lower portion of wall 46. I understand Your Honor's point, but he didn't make that argument again that there's no bottom. And the whole analysis, just pulling back for a minute, the whole analysis that the board went through, this is a very, very simple device, and it would be obvious for one of ordinary skill in the art to use instead of a rupturable rigid material to substitute the foil membranes of Leserbrand. Whether or not they used the exact words of bottom opening, it was covered in many different ways in their analysis. If the Brina argument is not satisfying, it was certainly covered in the analysis of why one would combine Brina and Leserbrand. It's a very simple substitution to change the rigid material for the flat membranes that are attached to a different component on the sides of Leserbrand.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hunt. I think we're out of time. Mr. Berkley?
Just a few responsive comments. Your Honor, the government began, I think, their discussion by suggesting that we had abandoned the focus on the claim opening in the bottom at the outset. And Judge Moore, I believe you seized on the issue correctly, that we never did that. Now, we don't agree with the way the board characterized what we were disputing, but that was their conclusion, and I just don't agree with the characterization. We know what we were disputing. And one of the things that we were disputing was, of course, is there a bottom opening? And the issue that I think that I heard represented today is that Brina may not have shown where that bottom opening is. And in fact, that's what the board found at A5. It said, having predefined top and bottom openings, both of which are sealed by thin, rupturable membrane, the examiner never alleges that Brenner does disclose those elements. So first, I think it puts away the idea that we didn't argue this to the board. We did. But the interesting thing, and the reason why I circle back to that, is they say, fine, Brenner doesn't they agree, Brenner does not disclose that element, and the examiner didn't rely on it. But the problem is, they never come back and say where it is in the prior art. They simply say, well, we don't say that it's in Brenner, and it's not shown in Brenner, but they never come in the rest of their opinion and say where that bottom opening is.
It's true. Suppose that I agree with you, and you're completely right. They never come in and show where there's a bottom and a top opening which is replaced. It's nonetheless explicitly and unequivocally present in Lizer, Brahm.
I don't know how to pronounce that either.
So I guess I don't know what good it would serve you for me to reverse on a technicality when the other reference they expressly cite, though they don't cite it for that element, nonetheless actually completely and utterly discloses that element. So I don't know, you know, I don't know that that gives your client anything to walk away with, even if we allowed him to win on a technicality because the board didn't cite the element disclosed in the right reference.
What the board relied on Lizerbrahm for was only the use of foil membrane. And that was how it was used by the examiner, and that's how it was applied by the board. In fact, my arguments about Lizerbrahm were again, just sort of cast aside, saying, well, you're making arguments about Lizerbrahm doesn't teach putting that internal storage container in the cap and outside the bottle, but that's not important. What, Your Honor, I think it is important, if I may just have a few seconds to conclude
this
point.
Just a concluding thought, because we're out of time.
The examiner originally did apply Lizerbrahm in if you look at page A26 of the appendix. That reference was applied by the board originally, or by the examiner originally, but was withdrawn because the examiner couldn't come up with a motivation why that component, that storage container, would move from the bottle cap into the internal sidewall. And that was an argument I made during the prosecution, and the examiner withdrew that and didn't apply Lizerbrahm in that fashion.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Berquist. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted, and that concludes our session for this morning.
All rise. The honorable court is adjourned to tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.